kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
I'm calling this "Many Never Progress Beyond Pentecost." Many never progress beyond Pentecost. You know, it's sad, isn't it, that many Christians, many of our brothers and sisters, and those who've received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, never progress beyond Pentecost into the fullness. In fact, many don't even think that you can. You see, it's sad that many have never heard about the deeper life. They've not heard about the crucified life. They've not really heard about total discipleship, walking by faith, overcoming the times of restoration that we're in now, and the final manifestation of the sons of God to groaning creation, all found in Romans 8. It is so tragic, sad, that so many of our brothers and sisters in churches around have not heard of this. And in fact, some have heard, some want to believe it, embrace it, and others are not so interested. But like all of these things, God is on the throne. He is in control. He knows what he's doing. And we've got to just keep our minds out of it and simply trust him and walk by faith. Because if we don't do that, you know what the enemy suggests. And he will always suggest that this whole walk, your whole Christianity, your consecration is laughable, is a failure, and nobody's interested. And possibly outwardly, there's truth to that. But you see, we walk not in the flesh, but in the spirit. And there is the great difference. And we can only do this when we allow the baptism of the Spirit to accomplish what he intends to do, what his purpose is to do. And I just want to remind ourselves in the scriptures what we know so well, but we need just to go over these things, because I know the old enemy is very vocal. He's saying an awful lot, and we need to exhort and encourage one another. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 3, the book of Ephesians. You see, the book of Ephesians is all about the bride, the body of Christ. And if you want to know the church, the function of the church, you make a study in Ephesians, because it's all there. But we'll look at Ephesians chapter 3 and verses 14 to 19. 14 to 19. And it says here, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. So, of course, he's talking about the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit is our guarantee of our inheritance. He comes not only saving us, but baptizing us in the Holy Spirit, because he wants to reveal the guarantee. Now, you've been hearing me speak over the last few weeks. Ephesians. Well, I'm going to carry on with that. The Lord knows on that. Sometimes this is when the Holy Spirit just takes over, you know? And I don't limit him. Sometimes I get it wrong. But God gets it right. So I'm going to just continue with that, what he's shown here in Ephesians chapter 1 and I'm looking at verse 14, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Well, he's talking about the power of the Spirit. He's talking about what he has given. And I've been talking about recently about the will, God's will, and what he has placed in his will, that we have access to his account. He's given us his account, and everything is there. It's guaranteed. It's at our disposal. It's called the promises of God. And it is there for us, to those who believe. Now, like all things, it's all free, but it's not cheap. And it's called the deeper life. And that is what God is ultimately doing with us. Who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of our purchased possessions to the praise of his glory. And all of this is to the praise of his glory. Because the Father has created everything for the Son. It is his gift to the Son. And his Son has seen what that gift entails. And that gift entails you and I, the body of Christ, the overcomers, the bride that's making herself ready. That is all part of the blessing that the Father has given to his Son. This is enormous, brothers and sisters. This is so big, this is so vast, that the Bible says, "My eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him." We can't even begin to comprehend. We can see with the naked eye, we can look up into the sky, and we can see all those stars and those galaxies, myriads of them, all of that created and given for the Son. We feel just like a little speck, don't we? Like a little grain of sand on the seashore. That's how we feel. And yet God says he knew us before we were born. He knew us in our mother's womb. He knows every head of hair upon your head. He knows everything about us. We are never out of his sight 24/7. He is always with us, giving his angels charge over us. For what purpose? That we will be the sons of God that will come forth in the last days. It's what you are predestined for, brothers and sisters. And you can't change it. You can. I know some who are trying to go other places, or trying to go to different churches, and you get news, or you meet them, or whatever it is. And do you know one of the first things that comes out? You know, the word isn't the same to what it was in FGA. And please, brothers and sisters, I try and say that with all humility, because it's not anything about me. It's got nothing to do about me. It's what God has placed in this body. And I think to myself, listen to what you have just said. And that's what happens. They become deceived. It damages one when you go away. And we've seen it. And all it does with me, I just say, God, Lord, in your mercy, please don't let that happen to me. Please don't let that happen to me. And so God has given us the doorway into the fullness of God. And the way to that is through the power, the baptism of the Spirit. I'm going to speak a bit more about that in a minute. But let's turn to the scripture that I have got now in Ephesians 3 and verse 14. I haven't forgotten that. 14 through to 19. And it says here, "For this reason I bow my knee to the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and in earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with all might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God, and so on. Well, there the apostle is trying to use language. He's using mathematical terms. He's trying to describe length. He's trying to describe width. He's trying to describe height and whatever it is. But he's trying to use language on something that is so difficult to describe. How can you describe God? How can you describe the space or God's abode or where he dwells? Can you put any measurement to it? You can't. You can't. And that is what God is doing with you and I in the inner man. This is all about progressing, moving beyond Pentecost. This is moving into the greater works. This is the last experience of the Christian church before she's raptured and taken out. And we have to allow the Spirit to move us into this. We cannot put up any obstacles, any resistance. He knows what he's doing. He's in complete control. Well, let's look also how this is achieved. We know this. We read it often in chapter 4. And we'll take it up from verse 11. This is how he's doing this work in us. He's doing it even right now, this moment, as I speak. And he himself gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now you have got a teaching today through evangelicals, and I have respect for them. They hold to John 3:16, salvation, but a lot of them are not moving beyond Pentecost because they have issues about the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I will leave it there. But you have a teaching today that these five ministries do not function today. They were only for Pentecost. They are not around today. That was the only time it was for. Well, okay, it's an interesting theory, but where is it in Scripture? That's the question. And it ain't in there. And I have certainly looked for it. And there is no suggestion when you read that, that that was just for Pentecost or the first 200 years, which they suggest to us. On the contrary, it's for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till what? Till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to the perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. In other words, it's what I say, he's working perfection in us. He's working a measure of perfection. He's working his fullness in us until he sees that measurement that glorifies him. Now, we don't know what that is, but God does. We're not talking about sinless perfection. We are talking about a measure. There is a fullness that the Holy Spirit has predestined that will glorify the Son, and that will be enough. And when we come to that place of fullness, maturity, the next thing we will hear, come up. The rapture. And that is what he's doing. And how is he doing it? He's equipping the church with these ministries of the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. This is what equips the church. This is what perfects the church. This is what empowers the church. There is nothing in the Word of God that most of those ministries have ceased today. They just say, oh, there's the pastor and the teacher. That's all that's needed now. It's not. There's nothing in Scripture that tells us that. That's the carnal mind trying to get in to expound the Word of God. We are totally reliant upon the Holy Spirit, upon the anointing to teach us. Else we don't know. And it goes on that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro. So there's the work of it. That's the goal. It's to cause us to grow up, to mature, so that we don't put our fleshly interpretations to God's word, which sadly so much of Christendom does. And this is why many never progress beyond Pentecost. They still want to try and interpret in the flesh, in the carnal. Why? Because man wants to be in control of his knowledge. And you ain't in control with your knowledge where God is concerned. He is. He takes over. And that takes faith. It takes faith, brothers and sisters, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plottings. But speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by whatever joint supplieth, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causing growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. You are here, baptized in this body. We are here together, even the saints who are in the room, for verse 16. You supply all the joints. You work effectively in the body for the purpose to cause it to grow. Did you know you are here to cause the body to grow, to come into perfection? Don't ever say, what use am I? What purpose or function do I have in the body? You are vital for the body's growth. Your very faith, your very consecration, your love for your brothers and sisters, your love for the Lord Jesus Christ, your devotion to the walk, everything causes the body to grow. How I think, how I act, what I say can affect the growth of the body. Wrong attitudes can hinder the growth of the body. That's what it's saying here. Now, brothers and sisters, that is growing up into maturity. Children are not so interested in that. They want to have fun. They want to see all the power. They want to see, you know, that's what all they want. Just let me have the power of God. I need the power of God in the meetings. I've been to them. And that's all they ever talk about. And they never progress any further than that. It's a lot more than just that. Well, if they don't start growing up, they can become a target to deception and doctrines of demons, sadly. So there we are. It's absolutely clear how the Holy Spirit is causing us to grow and mature. This is why I'm calling the teaching today, many never progress beyond Pentecost. Now, many Christians believe that they receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and that is the fullness of God. Now, I've already given that back to you. In verse 13, let's just read it again to remind ourselves, because I'm going to distinguish between the baptism of the Holy Spirit and receiving the Spirit. And it is important that we know this, that we really get this one right. Remember again what it said back in verse 13, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. All right, keep that in mind. You see, that is being filled with the Holy Spirit and having the fullness of God. It's not the same thing as the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is an immediate experience with the signs of speaking in tongues. Now, of course, we all have to start somewhere. And so the sign of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is you speak with those other languages. But that is not the fullness of the Spirit. You have to start to enter in, which we call the deeper life, that open door, moving into the fullness. And the fullness of the Spirit takes time. It's a lifetime. It's a walk of faith, trial, testing, overcoming, and so on. There is the difference. And we have such confusion today in Christendom. And this will come up when you talk to other Christians, and particularly when you start to talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues, why the word says that is the sign and everything, you will get it all come up. Ah, but what did the apostle say about not all speaking tongues and so on? He's not speaking there about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He's speaking there about the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is part of the nine gifts set in the church. And that gift is to be interpreted when spoken out. And that is not the sign of the baptism, the tongue that you speak in. When you speak in the gift of tongues, you come out with a completely different tongue. Trust me, because I know, I've experienced it. It is a language I don't speak normally like that when I'm interceding or praying. That is interpreted, else none will know. What is the point? But that is not the sign of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, these signs will follow. They will speak with new tongues. That is the sign of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It is not one of the gifts, the nine gifts. That is another one. And of course you have diverse tongues. There's another gift. And there is such confusion in the body of Christ over all of this. And the devil has a field day in all this. So we have to put that right. You will encounter this. It comes up. I can assure you. We have to show from the scriptures that there is a fullness of the Spirit, which is not the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That is an immediate experience. However God does it, and he can give you that in many ways. Sometimes you pray, you ask for it, believe for it. Others in a meeting, suddenly they just start speaking out in tongues. Or whatever, it can be but it is an experience. That's the point. But that is the doorway to go deeper with God, because you have to be empowered in order to go into the fullness of God. It cannot just happen in your own strength. It requires an empowerment of God. And that's what he's done with you and I, so that we go fuller into the Spirit. And the fullness of God is a growth, it's a process, which is accomplished when you yield yourself to the ministry of the Holy Spirit after receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's all now about yielding over to God and not fighting, resisting him. And that takes a time, brothers and sisters. We don't get that straight away. I'll acknowledge that. I know it in my own life. I've had some wrestles with God. I'll be quite frank and honest with you. I have. I have told God, I can't do this. It's too difficult. It's just not in me. It's not in my heart. And then I hear in the next breath, but with you, all things are possible. And that's why I hold on. And that's why I call on your mercy, your grace, and that you will not give up on me. You always win the victory, and I want you to. There you are. You settle it. God will do the rest. My grace will take over. My grace will be sufficient. How do we know? The Apostle Paul himself wrestled with that. We're told he sought the Lord three times. And he eventually got it. God said, my grace is sufficient. Just stay with it and I'll work it through. God knows what he's doing, brothers and sisters. He makes no mistake in all of this. You see, those experiences what make us real brothers and sisters in Christ. You see, it's these experiences that start to put words into deeds and actions, you see. There's so many good talkers in Christendom. We've heard them all got the right answers. We were probably like it until God got hold of our lives and you realise, well, I don't have the answer. I don't really know, unless God shows, unless he reveals. And praise God, that is the way. What does it say in John 16, verse 13? John 16, verse 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of his own authority, but he hears and he will speak and he will tell you the things to come. In other words, he will tell you what his Father says. Hallelujah. There's so much more to experience in this walk, brothers and sisters, as the Apostle Paul clearly shows, doesn't he? In 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 to 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. You know this well. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, has not entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. And that's what he does. And that is what he's doing. The Lord is bringing forth first fruits. The whole purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, for that very purpose, to bring us into the fullness of the Spirit. He's working in us to make us totally dependent upon him. You see, the Holy Spirit and his ministry have come so that we can walk by faith in these last days. I don't know how we achieve this, but all I know is he's doing it and he will do it. And I believe he will do it. Because to walk totally by faith is miraculous. It is in many ways a miracle in itself. And yet we're finding, aren't we, as we discern and as we test and as we look at the days that are fastly approaching, we're beginning to realise, thank God he's working in us to walk totally by faith. He's made no mistake in all of this. None whatsoever. And we need to remind ourselves what the deeper life of the Spirit is. And it's not the acceptance of the full gospel. It's not increase in religious activity and works. It's not great supernatural manifestations in one's life or in the church. And we have to distinguish between the manifestation of the Spirit and the deeper life in the Spirit. That is what you have to discern. And that is important. Now, I'm not doing away with all the gifts and the signs and everything. We should expect them. They should be part of our everyday life and living. They should be part of our meeting, our assembly. That is there. But that is not the deeper life. We move beyond the deeper life. That's why I said there are many who never progress beyond Pentecost. We have Pentecost. Pentecost has not changed. It's only the church has changed its theology over it. But it hasn't changed. What we are now, growing up as sons and daughters of God, we move beyond that into now the fullness of God. And the fullness of God isn't looking for signs, isn't looking for wonders, isn't going from church to church, listening to this minister, that preacher, or that man that's got the gifts of healing, which goes on so often. We move beyond that. In other words, God settles us down. He stops us running and roaming around like so many Christians do, because they're so unsettled. It's called growing up. That's the fullness of the Spirit. And that is what we discern. And that is what we want. That's why we're here. For that very purpose. So we do need to remind ourselves, brothers and sisters, about this. You see, for example, you have received Christ. You've received that divine anointing. You've received the gifts. You've received the deeper life in which to grow. You have all of that at your disposal. That's why he says, go forth, lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Cast out demons. Baptize in the Holy Spirit and they will speak with tongues. You have those gifts. They're there. You can walk on water if you have the faith for it. That is there. That is in the baptism of the Spirit. But we're even moving beyond that into the greater works. And that is the whole point. All of us are being tested in certain areas of our faith. I am being tested in certain areas of my faith. That I'm holding and standing on to the promises of God's word. I mean, I'll give a quick testimony. I've shared it with some already, but forgive me for repeating myself. But for about the last 2 years, I've been going through a trial where I've been getting infection in the right ear almost twice a week, where it blocks, it all sounds as though it's over-amplified, tremendous tinnitus noise going on, and the sinus on the right side blocking up. And it would always last for about 10 hours, and then it would go, clear. And you'd come back and go, sought the Lord on it, and I thought, well, settle it with God's word, by stripes, I was healed at Calvary. And I began to realise that, and I've shared this with you, but as you can see, I've laid new flooring down in the house. And I would come into the house and I could smell a musty smell. It was a musty, particularly in the summer, it got even worse. And I would clean the carpet and hoover it, do all the things that you do with it, but something just didn't seem right somehow. And I sought the Lord about it. And I thought, I don't know whether there's something with this carpet. You know, I didn't link the two at the time. And I felt I could do with new flooring. And at first I thought, well, let's have a new carpet. And I thought, well, I do like this nice laminated. You know, it's a lot easier, and I like rugs, and it's a lot easier to keep clean and everything. Anyway, I started looking at this. I sought the Lord about it, and I felt the Lord say to me, I'll bless you if you want to do it. I did get some quotes, but I mean, it was way, you know, it was off the chart. You know, you're dealing with man's greed now, these days. You really, really are. But that wasn't the point. If God said go that way, that's fine. He will provide. Now, that's not the point. But I felt that he would bless me. And I rushed into none of this. It all took about 6 months waiting on God. Anyway, the time came. Got all the stuff. And as you can see, I've changed. And the first thing I knew and realised was the atmosphere, the smell has changed in here. I would come in and I couldn't smell that musty smell anymore. And it didn't occur to me until about 3 weeks later, because I've been working on this, it's been going on now, this project, for about 4 or 5 weeks. And after about 4 weeks, I thought, I'm not getting an ear infection anymore. My nose is a lot clearer. I'm not getting sinus now, particularly on the right side. It would all block, you know, and everything. And I thought, Lord, you've healed me. And I believe there was problems with this carpet. It was releasing whatever it was, you know. Now, I'm not going to get my mind into it. God's ways are past my ways. I don't understand how he works. I don't understand how he achieves and gets us healed. And the end result, what it takes to do, that is God. All I know is that he's touched me, it has changed, and I now no longer get these ear infections, which was unpleasant, to say the least, because it affects your balance as well. So the Lord is faithful. So I'm talking about our healing. It's there. It's in the atonement. If we hang on and we wait and we're not impulsive, you remember I spoke about that on Tuesday, wait on God. In his time, he will do it. And I'm still waiting for other manifestations. And in his time, he will do it. Because he's promised. That is what he's given. He's given the gifts to the church. They're there. They're the promises. But that isn't the deeper life. The deeper life goes way, way beyond all of that. It's growing up unto him. And there is the difference, you see. The deeper life is yielding to the Spirit. It's that self-emptying. It's that growth into the fullness of Christ. Now, I'm sure you are aware that most of what God is doing with you and me and all of us each day, he's bringing us to a place to yield. And he's shown us what a lot of that yielding is. It's also letting go, isn't it? Am I right that that is what God is doing with you? He's bringing you to places where he wants you to let go, to yield. You're all nodding your head. You're all saying amen. Praise God, we're in the right place. That is called growing up into his fullness. You've no idea how that blesses me, brothers and sisters. You've no idea, because sometimes I think, am I getting this right? Is this right? And when I hear the amens and everything, I thank you, Lord. We are on the right course. We are. Because that is what it is. It's what he's dealing with me. He's wanting me to yield. He's dealing with my will. And we don't know how strong our will is until he corners us. And then we show our full colours, don't we? For a while. And we're utterly ashamed that we could show those full colours. That I'm ashamed that that was still in me. But then I find myself saying, praise God, it's better out than in. You see, he knows how to do it. And that's why he's perfecting us in love. And that's why when we do show our full colours, and sometimes we do it in front of each other, don't we? The love of Christ will look beyond that. The love of Christ will say, yeah, there's all yuck coming out at the moment. But when that's scraped away, there's going to be that purified gold underneath. See, that's what we look to. That's why we walk by faith and not by sight. And how the enemy likes to try and get in. See, I told you that was in that sister. You were right. You did discern that, didn't you? Well, praise God. We discern it for the very purpose to pray. That they will be set free. Not to gossip.
That's right.
And to criticise them. That's right. And so on. That's not what it's about. Hallelujah. We're getting some amens on in the room today. 100%, so true. Need to show kindness. Hallelujah. Thank you for those remarks, as it helped me that I am hearing from God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The Bible says that the Spirit was not given unto him by measure. He possessed the Spirit in fullness. Therefore, to the extent we are fully yielded to the Spirit, will we also know of his fullness. He walked in the fullness, and he has put fullness in you. And what is that fullness? That is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You have his fullness by faith. You are walking into it. You are possessing it. And what is it called? The promised land. Israel was to go in and possess the fullness of the promised land. She didn't. The church, she is to possess the promised land, the fullness. And what is that fullness now? It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the fullness. He is the promised land. And the church must accomplish this before the rapture comes. And this is why we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities, dominions, because they are trying to stop the sons of God from coming forth, because they are included in judging the powers of darkness with Christ. Read the book of Revelation. That's why. You see, many Christians, as I close now, many Christians do not yield to the Holy Spirit. Therefore, they are not experiencing his fullness. We know this from the parable of the sower, don't we? It was the hard ground which could not yield the seed that was sown, and consequently could not produce any fruit. We are to produce fruit. And the only way fruit can be produced is to let God work on the heart. Let him circumcise these hearts. And he's doing it. Trust me. And so it's a yielding of one's life, one's will, one's spirit. And it's allowing the Holy Spirit to completely control me. It's one's entire body, mind, soul and spirit is completely subjected to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And only the baptism of the Holy Spirit can accomplish this. It is his bride he's wanting now. That is what he's looking for. And he is equipped so that she can make herself ready. That is the next great event that is to take place in the church. Brothers and sisters, God has made no mistake over you and I. I can confidently say we are in his perfect will. I have no doubts whatsoever. Even the trials or the tests that I'm going through, whatever it is, I have that confidence that I am in his perfect will. And when you know that in your heart, that is when you can grow. Because sheep must be put in the right pastures. Sheep are very timid creatures. They are disturbed very easily. They need to feel that security. They need to feel that protection. They need to know that they are fed regularly. And I have no doubt that I am in those pastures with you, my brothers and sisters. And the great shepherd, Jesus, is watching over us day and night. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for encouraging us, blessing us. Lord, I pray that this word will become reality to our lives. Lord, I thank you for our time of fellowship. Thank you for bringing my brothers and sisters into the room. Bless, preserve and keep them, Lord. And Father, may you be with us when we go out and when we come in. Give us the words. Give us the unction of the Spirit. Lead us, Father, to those who are hurting, those who are destitute, those who are searching for answers in their lives. Lead us into the highways and the byways, because you said they are there. And some of us are the labourers as well, Lord. Anoint us that we go forth for your glory, Father, in Jesus' name.
Against all disaster, let him in constancy fall.